Hilchas Matzronos, Halacha Gimel, Paragraph Yud Beis. Rav Nosson Zal is basing this halacha on chapter 65 in Likutei Moran, and he discussed in the previous two shirim, we discussed the topic of Yortzeit, and Rav Nosson Zal gave incredible insights to the different customs that we have on a Yortzeit, and now he's switching to the topic of Yom Kippur. He spoke about the custom of lighting a candle on a Yortzeit, lighting a candle, Le'ilui Nishmas the Nifter. And from that, he's shifting into the candle that we light on Yom Kippur. V'zeu b'chinas neirois shel Yom HaKippurim. Related to what we were learning before, is tied in the concept of the candles of Yom Kippur, shematlik kol echod ner b'yom HaKippurim, whereby every person lights a candle on Yom Kippur. We know that there's a law in Shulchan Aruch that says that a married person is supposed to light a candle in their bedroom for Yom Kippur as a reminder that this is a night that of separation between husband and wife. In addition to that, there's a custom of lighting candles in memory of parents on Yom Kippur, which they do in many of the shuls. A person comes to shul for Kol Nidre, they bring with them a candle for each parent that was nifter, and we light a candle in memory of the parent. Ki oz b'yom HaKippurim hu ikar shleimus hatfila, because Yom Kippur is the day when we achieve a certain perfection and completion of tefila. Yom Kippur is the only day when we daven five tefilos. Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, Musaf, and Ne'ilah. The most we have on any other day is four. Musaf, on Shabbos, on Rosh Chodesh, on Yom Tovim. Yom Kippur is the only day when we have five tefilos, which means maximum, the maximum of tefila. Shenichleles bekula yechod. And as we learned earlier, perfection of tefila is when the tefillah plugs in entirely to oneness, to the oneness of Hashem, shehu hatachlis, which is the ultimate goal. We mentioned that there are different levels of holiness. As you climb the ladder, let's say starting from the bottom, from Malchus and the other midos of Hashem, there's always a concept of a right and a left. Even as high up as Chochma and Bina, there's a concept of a right and a left. But when we go to above Chachma and Bina, when we go to the Keser, the crown of Hashem, or higher than that, there is no right and left. There are no two. There's only oneness. There's only Echad. It's Kulay Toiv, as it's called. So Rav Nosson Zal says, and Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 65 in Likutei Moran, that the ultimate goal of tefillah is to make one out of the entire tefillah, from beginning to end, to tie it all together, to make one out of it. Shehu bechinas oylam haba. That's the concept of oylam haba, which is called yoyim shekulay toiv, where there is no good and bad. It's only good. It's only oneness. Ki yoyim HaKippurim hu bechinas oylam haba. Because Yom Kippur is like Olam Haba. It's a taste of Olam Haba. She'ein bo yachilo ushtia ki yadua. We know that in the future world, there'll be no eating and drinking. We're like angels. Ki oz anu soismin einenu mechezu dahayalma. Because on Yom Kippur, we close our eyes completely to the materialism, to the gashmius of this world. Ki misanin chamisha inuyim. We accept upon ourselves five different types of abstention. No eating and drinking, no relations, no wearing leather shoes, all the different abstentions that we have. We remove ourselves completely from all of the materialistic desires of this world. On Yom Kippur, we are involved only in tefillah, pretty much. Shehu lemala min hakol, which is above everything. V'alkein oz b'yom HaKippurim nichleles hatfila b'tachlis hashleimus. Therefore, on Yom Kippur, the tefillah plugs into the highest level of perfection, of completion. B'bechinas kula yechod, where it's all one. V'alkein oz nishlemes hatfila b'yoser mikol hashana. Therefore, on Yom Kippur, the tefillah reaches a level of perfection, a level of completion, more so than any other time in the year. Ki mispalelin oz chamesh tefillos. Because on Yom Kippur, we daven five tefillos, which we do not do on any other day of the year. Ki oz nichleles hatfila biechod. Because on Yom Kippur, the tefillah plugs into this oneness, shehu b'chinas oylam haba, shezeh ikar shleimus hatfila kanal. That's the real perfection of tefillah, when the tefillah takes the person out of this world into the next world, into that level. Vezehu b'chinas tefillas ne'ila, shemispalem b'yom ha-kippurim u'b'yom ha-tainis. And this is also the concept of the special tefillah of ne'ila, which we daven on Yom Kippur, or in the days, in the times of the Gemara, when they would declare special fasts for rain, on when it got to a certain level, they would daven a tefillah of Ne'ilah also on that fast day. She'oz soismin einei mechezo dayama. On these fast days, we're closing our eyes completely to gashmius, no eating, no drinking. And Rabbi Nizal shows there in Likutei Moran that when a person is able to close their eyes to the materialistic world, that helps the person lift off and plug into the next world, to Olam Haba, into the place of Kulay Echad. And this is what allows the tefillah to become part of that oneness, Shezehu Iker Tikun Hatfilah, which is the main shleimus and perfection of tefillah. Alkein mispalel in oz tefillas ne'ila. Therefore, at the end of Yom Kippur, at the end of these fasts, we pray this tefillah called ne'ila. What does ne'ila mean? Closing. Bechinas shenoyalin v'soigrin kol hatfilos yachad. Usually, the standard interpretation of what the word ne'ila means is that's when the gates of heaven close up. Right after that prayer, the gates are closed. So you better put everything you can into that ne'ilah, because this is your last chance till the next Yom Kippur, till tomorrow, you know, period. That's the standard interpretation. Rav Nelson Zal says, the term to close something, when you have a yard, let's say, you have an open place. In an open place, things are all over the place. When you close it in completely, closing it makes it one. When a person has a place that's open, open means Rishus HaRabim. Anyone who wants can come in and go out and people can take. When I close it up completely, now it's mine. It's Rishus HaYochid. It's mine. So Rav Nosson Zal says that's why we have the tefillah of Ne'ilah, Bechinas Shenoyalin V'Soigrin Kol HaTfilos Yachad. This final tefillah, this fifth tefillah, is locking up, closing, and combining all the tefillos into one. Ad shekol hatevois shel kol hatefillos ne'ulim u'sigurim yachad. And thereby we're taking all the words of all the different prayers and locking them in together. We're chaining them up together. We're making one out of the whole package. Vafilu kshendim b'soif hatefillah, so that even when we're all the way at the end of the prayer, adayin oimdim b'tchilas hatefillah, we're still attached to the beginning of the prayer. We didn't let go. Like we explained yesterday about making a bouquet of flowers. You pick one flower, you pick a second flower, but you don't drop the first one. You're holding on to the first one. You're attaching, and then you're making one out of the whole thing, one gorgeous bouquet. That's what our tefillah is supposed to be. When a person says matoy adayin oilam, when he finishes adayin oilam, he doesn't drop it. He holds on to it. He doesn't let go of it. He's attached, deeply attached to it. When he goes on to the next tefillah, he's holding on. He's attaching one to two, and then one to two and three. And when he gets to the end of the tefillah, he's still at the beginning of the tefillah. He's holding the whole thing. The whole thing is locked together. He made one out of the whole tefillah. That's what Rabbi Nizal explains elaborately in Torah Samachay and Likutei Moran. V'alkein, and therefore, achar ne'ilah, after we complete that final tefillah of Yom Kippur, that fifth tefillah, at the end, Oimrim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's the cherry on top? The cherry on top is Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Echad. Ki ono miyachadim v'koilalin al yidei zeh kol hatfilois biyechad. What we're doing is taking all the tefillahs, Mariv, Shachris, Mincha, Neil, and plugging it all into that oneness. Shezeo Bechinas Tfilas Neila. That's what that final tefillah is all about. Vezeo Shomer Machakach Hashem Hu Hu Elokim. And after we say the Shema, we recite the words Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times. Ki Hashem Hu Hu Elokim Zeo Bechinas Alma Daasi. Because this combination of Yud Ke Vav Ke and Elokim is called Olam Haba. Rabbeinu Zal refers to this in a few places in Likutei Moran. The Zohar HaKadosh says on the pasuk Hashem Elokai Godalta Ma'od Borchi Nafshi in Tehillim, the Zohar HaKadosh says Hashem Elokai, that's Olam Haba. That combination of Yud Ke Vav Ke and Elokim, when they become one, Yud Ke Vav Ke is Chesed, Elokim is Din. In Olam Haba, they are one. It's called Yichud Bracha Kedusha, the union of Bracha and Kedusha, right and left. The Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26, Elokim is 86. Together it's 112, 112, which makes up the first letters of Yichud Bracha Kedusha, Yaboik. The Shem Yaboik, which is the combination of Hashem and Elokim, that's called Olam Haba. And the Zohar Kodesh speaks a lot about it. Again, because in Olam Haba, there will not be any good and bad. It'll be all good. It'll be all oneness. Shehu Shem Mole Kayadua. That's called the full name of Hashem. Ki Olam Haba Hu Bechinas Kulay Echad, Kulay Toiv. Because Olam Haba is the place where it's all oneness, all good. Bechinas Hashem Hu Hu Elokim. That they're one. Hainu sherachamim vedin hakoil echod, that kindness and judgment are all really one. Ki nizbatlin v'nimtokim kol hadinim, because all the judgments, all the din is eliminated completely and sweetened. Ki kuloy echod, kuloy toiv, then we're connecting to that level of all goodness, all oneness. V'alkein madlikin neirois b'yom HaKippurim kol echad v'echad. And it's for this reason that we light candles on Yom Kippur. Each person lights a candle, lehoirois, to show she'oz nichlal kol echad b'almadosi, that what's happening on Yom Kippur is that all of us are plugging into this Olam Haba. Shehu hatachlis, that's the ultimate goal. She'kuloy echad, kuloy toiv, where it's all one, all good. Shalidei oir hazricho shel habitul hazeh meir haner kanal. And Rabbeinu Zal explained over there in Likutei Moran, okay, so a person gets into his spaceship and he goes up. He goes all the way up to the Kesser, to this place where it's all oneness. And then what? Does he stay up there? No, he's not allowed to stay up there. He'd be dead. He's got to come back down. So he comes back down, so he lets go. So he's not connected to that light anymore. So what did he gain out of the whole thing? Rabbeinu Zal says he gains, there's a reshimu, there's an imprint that remains with him from that bright, bright light that he connected to up there. We mentioned, we compared it to the film. When a person has a bottle of oil and you empty the oil, you empty out the bottle, a film remains on the inside. That's a reshimu, it's called. So Rabbeinu Zal says when the person comes back down, they bring down new revelations of Torah. And those revelations of Torah are the light, are the result of connecting to that super, super high level light. So that's these candles that we're lighting. These candles that we're lighting are a testimony to the fact that we realize that we went up to that very, very high place, we connected there, and when we come down, we bring down a revelation of Torah that comes from the Rishimu. And the Torah is called a ner. We mentioned the previous, ki ner mitzvah v'Torah oira. Shalidei oir hazricho shel habitul hazeh, through that shine, that glow, from that bitul that we achieved by connecting to that very high level of light, meir haner, that's what lights up this candle. Meaning that's what brings down some of that light to this world. Paragraph Yud Gimel, v'alkein b'yoim hakipurim nitna hatoira. And guess what, Rav Nosson Zal says? We know the Torah was originally given on Shavuos, but that didn't last. There were, the luchas were broken afterwards. There was a second Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with a second set of luchas on Yom Kippur. Ki haluchos ha'achronos nitnu b'yom ha'kippurim. Ki hat, why? Ki ha'toira nimsheches me'or ha'bitul el ha'tachlis kanal. Because what allows us to bring down a revelation of Torah to this world? In order to do that, you have to go above. You have to go to that place of oneness, that place of bitul to the Ein Sof, and connect there. And when you're coming back down, when you're parachuting back down, you bring down with you a revelation of Torah. Shehu b'chinas Yom HaKippurim. And we said that's what's taking place on Yom Kippur, where we're tapping into, by closing our eyes to the Gashmias, we take off, we reach up into the Oyer Ein Sof, into Olam Haba. V'alkein oz moichalin kol ha'avoinos. This will explain why on Yom Kippur, all sins are forgiven. Shehu b'chinas bitul kol ha'yisurim sheboilam, which means the elimination of all pain and suffering in the world. Rabbeinu Zal said over there in the Kutran that when a person's experiencing pain, what does he do? He closes his eyes shut. Why? To close himself off from this world. By shutting his eyes to this world, he takes off and he goes up to the next world where there is no pain, where there's only everything's all good. So Rav Nosson Zal says, now you understand why in Yom Kippur all sins are forgiven, because sins are what cause pain. Ki ein yisurim b'loy chet. Because the Gemara says there's no such thing as suffering without sin. And if you're telling me that Yom Kippur is the elimination of suffering, then it's got to be the elimination of the root of suffering, which is the sins. Ve'oz b'yom ha'kippurim nechlolin b'hatachlis. And then on Yom Kippur, we're plugging into that highest level, shekuloi toiv, kuloi echod, which is all good, all oneness, sheshom nizbatlin kol ho'avoinois v'chol ha'yisurim. There, all sins and all suffering are eliminated completely. Ki ein shom shum din klal. Because up there, when you get to the Keser, when you get to the infinite, when you get to that, there is no din at all. There is no left side. Ki kuloy echod, kuloy toiv. Because it's all one, all good. Amen v'amen, Rav Nosson Zal says. We should be zeichet to that. Now he continues, paragraph Yudalit. Ushnei haluchois hem klulim miyudbei shvotim. The two luchois are combined, are comprised of, and represent the 12 tribes. Why? Ma kesher? Ki haluchois orkon vav v'rochman vav. Because the Gemara says in Baba Basra, page 14, that the luchois were 6 by 6. That was the dimensions. Nimtza, sheshnei haluchois orkon yudbeis. So that means the combination of the two luchois was 12. 6. Each one was 6 by 6. Put them together, it's 12. Vehem klulim v'nim shochin me'oyer habitul hanal shu kuloy echod. And the luchois are comprised of and come from that light of the bitul, that highest level light. Shekol zehu bechinas yud beishvotim, which we learned a few pages ago, that's all connected to the 12 tribes, which represent the yud beis gevulei alachsoin, the 12 boundaries and borders, sheklulim biechod, which are part of one. We spoke about, if you recall, we spoke earlier about Hashem's name yud kei vav kei, the 4 letters of yud kei vav kei, which are really one. Hashem Echad, we say. So even though it's 4, it's 1. We know it's all part of, it's really, really 1. And those 4 letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei can form 12 different combinations. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud Hei Hei Vav, Hei Vav, you know, etc., etc. Those are, correspond to these Yud Beis Gvulei Alachsoim, which correspond to the 12 Shvatim, which are really 1. Ato Echad, Veshimcho Echad, Umikamcha goy echod baretz. The Jewish people are one. We're supposed to be one. Even though we're 12, even though we're 12 divisions, all 12 divisions are supposed to be united and one. So that's again the luchais, which are 2 times 6 by 6, is 12. Because the luchais come from that light, that highest level light, that bitul. Vizeu b'china shtei mesri avne Yaakov shenichlu bevan echod. Now we understand that incredible story in the Chumash, where it says that when Yaakov Avinu came to the site of the Beis HaMikdash, he went to sleep there. He wanted to take a stone to put under his head. And there were 12 stones there that were fighting which one that Yaakov Avinu should put his head on. And the Midrash says Hashem made all 12 into one. All 12 combined to make one stone. Ki Yaakov zochlo lenachlo b'li mitzorim u'gvulim. Because as we mentioned earlier, Yaakov Avinu is the one whom Hashem says, I'm going to give you a portion with no boundaries. Boundless. B'li mitzorim. No meitzar. Ki nichlelu kol hayud beis gvulim, kol hayud beis shvatim b'yechod. Because all 12 borders combined into one, they all unified into one. All 12 shvatim unified into one. Bechinas, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, she'omru hayud beis shvatim liyakov b'shas istalkusoy. The Gemara tells us that when Yaakov Avinu was about to pass away, he wanted to reveal to his family all the secrets about the coming of Mashiach. And suddenly the Shechina left him. So he said to his family, maybe there's something missing here. Maybe there's a pegam emunah here. Maybe you don't believe in Hashem like I do. They all yelled together, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That just like in your heart, there's only one, in our hearts, there's only one. So they expressed that they all 12 were one. All 12 were part of this echad. Kishem she'ein belibcho el echad, kachein belibeinu el echad. Just like in your heart, there's only one. There's no doubts. There's no wishy-washy. In our heart also, it's one. There's one Hashem. Hainu kanal, as we explained earlier, that afal pi shonu yud bei shvatim, even though we are 12 tribes, Shein bechinas yud beis gvulim, which correspond to these 12 borders, yud beis nuschoi satfila, the 12 different versions of prayer, each shevet has its own nusach of tefila, afal pikein hakoil echod. In reality, it's all one. Ki ein belibeinu elo echod, because in our heart, there is only one. Ki anu mistaklin rak ala tachlis, because we look only at the ultimate goal, at Olam Hab, Sheshom HaKoy Lechod, where there it's all oneness. And we said again that the Shema itself is 12 words. Shema is 6 words. Baruch Shem is 6 words. Corresponding to these 2 Luchos, corresponding to the 12 Shvatim, which is all part of one. It's all about Echod. And the word Echod, you have the Ches and the Dalet, 8 and 4, which is 12, and these 12 are really Aleph. It's really one. V'zeh shoymrim kriya shma koydem hatfila. With this, we'll understand why we recite the Shema before Shmon Esrei. Kedei lichloil hatfila b'echad. Shehu ikar tikan hatfila. In order to help us plug our tefila, our Shmon Esrei, and our whole tefila into this oneness. Shema is all about Echod, that Echod. V'zeo b'china stima seinayim b'shas kriya shema. And now you'll understand also the secret why we close our eyes and we cover our eyes at the time that we're saying Shema. Ki i'efsher lehistakel ala tachlis, because Rabbeinu Zal teaches us over there in chapter 65 in Likud Imran that a Jew cannot look at Olam Haba. A Jew cannot look at the real purpose of life, Hainu lichloel be'echod, which is to plug into that oneness, Kiim al yidei stima seinayim echezu dayalma legamri kanal, unless he closes his eyes completely from this world, from the Olam Hagashmi, the foolishness and the narishkeiten and the taivas of everything of this world. V'alkein, and that's what we're trying to achieve there. V'alkein tzrichin limsor nafshoy al kiddush Hashem b'shas amiras echod. And this is why the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that when a person is saying that word echod, they're supposed to have in mind that I'm prepared to die for Hashem completely. The Dalid of Echod represents the 4 Mises Bezn, Skila, Sreifa, Herek, Chenek, that I hereby accept upon myself all 4 Mises Bezn to die for Hashem's honor, to die for Hashem's kavod. We know Rabbi Akiva, his soul left him at the word echad, when the Romans were raking his flesh, tearing off his flesh in the body, his soul left at the word echad. Ki mesiras nefesh ze bechinas stima seinayim echezu dayama. Because the term mesiras nefesh, which means giving up your soul for Hashem, that's all about closing your eyes to this world. That's about saying bye-bye to this world. I ain't involved here. I'm not interested in the Gashmias. Shemistalkin mizeh ho'olam legamri, whereby the person is leaving this world completely, umidapkin atzmon Hashem Yisborach, and attaching themselves totally to Hashem, umoisrim nafsham legamri b'shvilo Yisborach, and giving up our soul completely for Hashem. That's how we plug into this oneness, shehu b'chinas hatachlis shekulay toiv, which is that ultimate goal where it's all good. Ki yefsher lehistakel al hatachlis kiim al yidei stima seinayim ha'alma, because it's impossible to really be able to see the tachlis, to see what the real purpose of life is, to see what olam haba is all about, unless the person is able to close his eyes to the distractions and the foolishness of this world. Shezeu bechinas mesiras nefesh. This is the concept of mesiras nefesh. So Rav Nosson Zal just told us an incredible thing. Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, once wrote a letter to his Rebbe, Rav Koch of Leiv Zal, Rav Avram Shtern Hatzal, because he had learned a lot about this concept of dying al Kiddush Hashem, that it's such an incredible thing. So he wrote to Rav Koch Leizal, is this a good thing to daven for, to beg Hashem to give me the schus to die al Kiddush Hashem? So Rav Koch Leizal wrote back to him, dying al Kiddush Hashem is very big, very special, but a Jew can also live al Kiddush Hashem. There's a concept of living al Kiddush Hashem, where every aspect of your life is Kiddush Hashem, is all about Kvod Shamayim, etc. But here, Rav Nosson Zal's taking it even to another level. Rav Nosson Zal's speaking about it. We talk about Mesiras Nefesh, a person giving up his soul, giving himself over completely to Hashem. Being killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, means I'm leaving this world. I'm prepared to die, to be thrown out of this world, evicted out of this world, to throw myself into Hashem's lap. Rav Nosson Zal says you can do that even while you're here. To the degree that a person closes his eyes, he's got the whole world available to him. He's got a million stores, a million food stores, a million clothing stores. You can get involved in this world, you know, and 24/7 be involved in Gashmius in this world. And you get a person who says, I see all of that, and I know what it's all about, and I don't want any part of it. I want to abstain. I want to try to stay as far away from it as I possibly can. I need to exist. I need to be dressed. I can't walk around without clothes. I need to eat. But I'm going to have the minimum of the minimum of the minimum of connection of kesher with the physical world. Cause I'm up there. I'm 99% up there. I got one toe in this world. 99% of me is in the next world. And Rav Nosson Zal says here, if a person wants to be zeichet to see the tachlis, to know what the real purpose of life is, and to live a really spiritual life, that's what's needed. That's what's needed, is the ability to close one's eyes as much as possible to the distractions of this world, and to the attachments, to all the wires that attach us to this world, where a person thinks he's got to read every news, he's got to hear every piece of news, he's got to know everything that's going on in this physical world, not realizing that on the contrary, we're using the body, we're using this world just as a vehicle to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, to study Torah, to do mitzvahs. But I got to remember to stay focused, to be 99% ruchni, 1% gashmi. Even though the Yetzirah is trying to do the exact opposite. The Yetzirah is trying to make us 99% gashmias and a drop of ruchnias, a drop of spirituality, but 99% involvement in gashmias. Building a house, people spend months, years with an architect designing every detail and the colors and everything. And the mezuzah is 37. Give me the cheapest one you have. What's the big deal? You know, I need mezuzahs. Give me kosher, you know, or non kosher. Not a big deal. Chas v'shalom. Versus knowing what's the purpose of the house. The purpose of the house is a place to serve Hashem. It's a springboard to Olam Haba. That's what it's really all about. And Olam Haba, I don't have to wait to die to get to. I can be in Olam Haba. A Jew's supposed to be in Olam Haba while they're in this world. Reb Michel Zichron Rogoz used to say that the greatness, what Rabbeinu Zal teaches us, is how to be in the world and out of the world. I'm in the world, which means I don't act crazy. I don't do things that are chil Hashem chas v'shalom, or I don't fast, you know, when I'm not supposed to fast. I don't take things to an extreme that's forbidden in any way. But at the same time, I'm out of the world. I'm not committed here. I'm not tied up here. In one side, I know that I could be out the door in a second, chas v'shalom. There were people, tzaddikim, who used to prepare a suitcase, that a suitcase near their bed or right under their bed, said the second Mashiach comes, I'm out of here. I'm ready for him. I have my clothes, I have my bekeshiv, everything. That's one thing. And then this concept of this there's an opinion in Halacha that says that in Chutzlar, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, a Jew should not own a house. You should rent. You're in Chutz. Why? Because if you buy a house in Chutz Loretz, then you're committed. Then you own a house. That means you're there. You're there permanently. If I'm renting, I'm here today. I'm out tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm out. The Gemara says that the shuls and yeshivas will be transported to Eretz Yisrael, but the houses, that's another story. Continuing, paragraph Tezayin, v'zeh sham Rabbi Seinu Zal, and this is also what the Gemara says, kol ho'oine omein yehei shmei rabo, b'kol koichoi, a Jew who, when he says the words omein yehei shmei rabo in Kaddish, puts everything he has into it. There's a machloikas Rashi Toisus, whether it means loud, saying it loud with a, or Koichai here means kavona, putting your whole concentration into it. But we know that both are necessary, because in order to concentrate, the Gemara says, ha-koil moira kavona. When you say something a little louder, that gets your attention, that focuses your concentration on it more. So it erases, it gets all of the person's sins forgiven. Why? If you recall, in the previous year, we learned about Kaddish, that Kaddish is one of those tefillos that takes you into the next world. In Kaddish, we say those words, Le'ela min kol berchosa v'shirosa. We're going above all blessings and all service Hashem. We're going above Chochma and Bina. We're going above into the next world. Kyalidei anias omen yehishmei rabba bekavona. Because by a person saying those words, omen yehishmei rabba, with kavona, focusing, putting your head into what you're saying, Yehei, let Hashem's great name be elevated eternally. Nichlal le'elo min kol berchosa. That person is plugging into that level that's above all blessings, shehu hatachlis, which is the ultimate goal, the ultimate highest place, shekulay echad, kulay toiv, where there it's all oneness, all goodness. Sheshom ein shum achizas din v'ovoin klal. And as we said before, up there, there's no concept of judgment. There's no concept of sin. It's all whiteness there. It's all pure, pure whiteness there. Rak hakoil nimchal shom. Up there, everything is forgiven. Ki mishom ebchinas hatachles, ebchinas olam habo, mishom ikar mechilas avoinos. Because it's from up there, from that place called Olam Haba, it's from there that all forgiveness of sins comes from. That's where they have that bleach, that magic bleach, the most powerful bleach that whitens anything. Kizel b'chinas Yom HaKippurim, because that's the concept of Yom Kippur, shehu b'chinas Olam Haba. Yom Kippur is the concept of Olam Haba. On Yom Kippur, we're not in this world. We're saying to the world, have a nice day, see you tomorrow. Today I'm a mala. Today I'm in Olam Haba. No eating, no drinking, no sleeping. Kuloi toiv, kuloi echod. Shemoichlin oz huavoinois, al yidei shemechlolin oz shom. all the sins are forgiven by the fact that we're plugging into that highest place. That's why, if you recall, the pasuk that we recite on Yom Kippur, each holiday has its pasuk at night. The pasuk we say, Ki vayoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem mikol chatoiseichem lefnei Hashem titoru. On this day, He will forgive, yechaper aleichem, He will forgive you mikol chatoiseichem, from all of your sins, lefnei Hashem titoru. Before Hashem, you will be purified. Listen to this. Rav Rosenfeld's going to explain this. The word yechaper, He is going to, who's the He? Kivayoyim hazeh, Hashem is going to forgive. Why do we use the term yechaper, He? We mentioned many times. When we say ato, you, we're talking about somebody who's in close proximity to us. When we say who or he, or in English, he or she, we're talking about somebody that's not here now. He said, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what she said? We're talking about somebody that's not in front of us. So the term yechaper already is referring to the keser, the hiddenness of Hashem. Because we know usually we say, the Gemara uses the terminology that Yom Kippur forgives. Yom Kippur itself forgives. Yom Kippur is, it says certain sins Yom Kippur forgives, certain sins death forgives. If that were the case, the Zohar Kodesh says, it should have said, Ki hayoyim hazeh yechaper. This day will forgive. It doesn't say that. It says, Ki vayoyim hazeh, on this day, yechaper, He will forgive. Who's the He? Keser, the Nistor. And that's why the word titoru, lifnei Hashem titoru, the word titoru is bigimatria keser, exactly. To show what we're tapping into on Yom Kippur. That on Yom Kippur we're leaving this world, we're closing our eyes to this world completely, we're going up to that place of the keser, where there is no left side, there is no right and left, there's only right, there's only chesed, there's only rachmim, the highest level of rachmim, which eliminates all sin, all suffering, all pain. There is no suffering, no sin, no nothing. And again, when we say Kaddish, we're also tapping into that place. That le'elon kol berchoso. So if a person is zoicha, the one who's saying Kaddish, if he has kavana, or those who answer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah with kavana, really thinking about the words you're saying, we're tapping into this level called le'elon kol berchoso v'shirosa, above all standard levels. V'zeh b'chinas, now another Gemara, kol hama'aneges ha'shabbos, anybody who shows the right respect for Shabbos. He has pleasure. He makes sure that his pleasure is on Shabbos. Better food, better clothing, all oynig is on Shabbos. Moichlen loy avoynoisov. His sins are forgiven. Kialdei shmira Shabbos, nichlolen gamkein bahatachlis hazeh. Shubchinas nachlo b'dimitzorim. Because by observing Shabbos, again, we're plugging in Olam Haba. No money, no work. We're detaching ourselves from the materialistic world on Shabbos. Shabbos is called Me'ein Olam Haba, which is called Nachla Bali Mitzorim. No boundaries, no right and left or anything like that. V'alkein Moichlin Loi Kol Avinoisel. That's why observing Shabbos is one of those mitzvahs which gets all of a person's sins forgiven. Paragraph Yud Zayin. V'zeh b'chinas yud beis tevoi sheb'parsha shma u'bor Hashem kodem ochzon v'ed. And now we also understand why the shma and baruch shem have exactly 12 words in them, keneged yud beis gevulei alachsoin, corresponding to those 12 boundaries that we mentioned previously, b'chinas yud beis shvotim, the 12 tribes whom Eretz Yisrael was divided up among, V'chol b'chinas yud beis hanal shetzrich l'kolim be'echod. And this is tied into all the different forms of 12 that we discussed earlier, that all have to become part of one, shezeu b'chinas kriya shema. That's what's happening when we recite the Shema. We're pulling together all the different boundaries and everything, and plugging them into this oneness. In the oneness, there is no boundaries. It's infinite. It's that highest level of rachmim, where all sins are eliminated, where all suffering is eliminated completely. We should be zoche to appreciate what it is each opportunity that we have to answer to a Kaddish, to answer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah, that it's Each Amenyesh Mirabah is $1 million to know the value of it, to take it seriously. It's an opportunity to connect to a very, very, very high place. And Shabbos and Yom Kippur, each one of the things Rav Nosson Zal discussed here, and the Kriya Shema, what it means closing our eyes from Kriya Shema, what it means closing our eyes during Shemoneh Esrei, as we said before, that when you do that, when you close your eyes with this Kavana, you're detaching yourself from the physical world and transcending it, going above to that place of Olam Haba, where everything, all suffering and sin and Midas Adin, can be eliminated completely. Baruch Hashem. Halacha Dalit of Hilchas Matronas. Al pi ha-toira ha-nizkar le'el behilchas chalukah shutfis. Halacha Hey. Based on the chapter in Likutei Moran, which the previous halacha, Hilchas Shutfis halacha Hey, was based on, Yevoyer Inyan Matronas. Rav Nosson Zal says, I'm going to use that to explain this whole concept of boundaries and borders. When one person's property borders somebody else's property, that he has first rights to purchase if the person decides to sell. Shebal ha-meitzar koidim liknois ha-soda ha-smucho le-gvuloi, whereby the Torah teaches us that a person whose property borders somebody else's property, he has first rights to purchase when that person decides to sell. Why? Mishum v'osiso ha-yoshor v'atoiv. Because of a pasuk that says, you will do what is righteous and what is good. Not just what's fair, it's not just a matter of being fair, you have to do what's right and good. And right is that if this guy has a field right next to you, he stands to benefit more if you're willing to sell it to him than some guy from nowhere who's got properties in a different place, and he'll have another property, but it won't be attached to his properties. K'moisham Rabbi Senezal, as our rabbis teach us. He's referring, I believe, here to chapter 67 in the second half of Likutei Moran. 67 and 68, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the four yesoidos, the four basic elements whose existence is dependent on the one basic element, the yesoid haposhut, it's called, shehu bechinas hatzadik yesoid oilam. The tzadik, there's a pasuk that says, v'tzadik yesoid oilam. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world, period. He is the yesod of the entire world. And then we know there's a concept that there are four yesodas, there are four basic elements that the world rests on, which are fire, air, water, and dirt. So the Zohar Kodesh says that those four yesodas draw their life and power and everything and existence from the yesod haposhut, from the tzaddik. Shehu bechinas hanohor hayotze me'eden. This, the tzaddik, is compared to the river that comes forth from Eden, lahashkois es hagan, to water the garden, umishom yiporeit v'hoyu la'arba roshim. And what starts out as one river splits out into four tributary, four different directions, shehem ho'arbo yesoidos, which are these four basic elements. Ayin Shom, study that chapter on Likutei Moran, ukemuva mizeh le'el, as was discussed earlier, Ayin Shom, as Rav Nosson Zal spoke about this earlier. Paragraph Beis, ki ikar hisavus shel kol hoylam amaloyoy hu me'arbo yesoidos. The whole existence of the world and everything in it comes from these four basic elements, which are eish, ruach, mayim, ofor. Kashim Yisborach, Boro Ho Arba Yisoidois, Hashem created these four basic elements, Umehem, Hirke, Vehimzik, Kol, Hoylam, Umloyoy. And from them, from different combinations of them, Hashem formed and put together the entire world and everything in it. Shehem, which are Doimem, Tsoimeach, Chaim, Edaber, the four different levels of creation. Doimem are inanimate objects. Soimeach is vegetation, plants. Chai is the animal kingdom. And Medaber is human beings. Shebechol echod moirovim kol ha'arba yesoidos. Whereby in each one of these, in each one of these categories, is made up of all the four basic elements. A human being has fire and water and dirt and all of these elements in him. And so to a plant, every single thing. Rak shebedoimim, Just that when we talk about inanimate objects like a rock, in a rock, the major element in it is ofar, is dirt or earth. Uboi klulin hashar. And in the dirt is included the other elements. The other elements are sort of included in it. They're small ingredients in a sense in comparison. V'hatzoimeach, whereas plants and vegetation, ikoroi bebechinas mayim. There the main element is water, liquid, v'chulu, etc. Avol kol echod, kolol mikulam. However, in actuality, every one of these categories has all the other ones in it. Kemuva kol ze bisforim, as all of this is discussed in different sforim. Ve'ikar kiyum kol hadvorim, shenesavu me'arba yisoidos, hal yedei seder haharkova. And the whole existence of everything in this world is dependent on the proper order of the different elements that exist within each thing, that each thing is comprised of. Shenismazgu v'nirkivu b'mezek hashove, whereby Hashem put together these different elements in a perfect balance, where each thing, Hashem knew a plant, how much water it has to have in it, how much earth, how much, in order for it to have all the properties of a plant, in order for it to function properly as a plant. Kifi horoi lo yisei dover, as is appropriate for that particular thing. Because these four elements are, each one of them is very different from the other one. Ofer, the element of ofer, is very different than air or wind. Ve'esh mimayim, and fire is very different from water. V'chein kulam, and so too each one of these elements is very unique, very different. Rak Hashem yizborach b'chochmosoi haniflo b'roam b'chochmo kazois sheyuchlu lehisarev ulismazeg zeim zeh. It's just that Hashem, with his infinite wisdom, created them with such chochma that they can combine, that these different elements can be mixed and matched and combined, to the point where from these four elements can be formed everything in the world, and they should continue to exist and flourish in everything throughout their whole existence, until the time comes for them to stop existing. Example, a plant, a tree that can exist for 100 years or 50, 1,000 years, until the time comes that that tree's time is over, you know. V'oz choizrin u'mispardin ho'arbo yisoidois kol echad u'mekoymoi. And then the four basic elements from which that tree was comprised of, they separate and each one goes back to its original place. Shezehu ikar b'chinas hamisa v'hakiloyoin v'hahefsid shel kol advarim kiyodua. This is the whole concept of death or destruction or deterioration of everything in existence, where certain things, a house is built, again, the house can last for 150, 200, but we know after a certain amount of time, it starts to fall apart, it starts to and break down to its basic elements. So to a plant, a rock, whatever it is, a human being, lahavdil, an animal. V'alkein boro Hashem yisborach koychois memutzoim bein ho'arba yisoidos. And therefore, kavyochol Hashem created intermediaries, in a sense, between these four elements, kedei sheyuchlu lehismazeg zeim zeh, that are bridges, that serve as bridges for these elements to be able to combine with each other, to work together. We know that those who learn the most basic science know that water is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen. Hydrogen and oxygen are two gases. They're gas. There's no liquid in you take hydrogen, you study hydrogen, you ain't gonna find a drop of liquid in that. And oxygen also, you ain't gonna find. And yet when combined in a certain formula, H2O, two portions of hydrogen to one portion of oxygen, it forms water, it forms liquid. How? He did it. Hashem, with his infinite wisdom, created all of these basic elements, the gases and the liquids and the fire and the, in such a way, and he created the bridges between them, ways to combine them, to mix and match them, to be able to produce everything, everything that exists in the world. Rav Nosson Zal now gives examples. Ki ofer kar v'yovesh. Dirt, earth, is cold and dry. Umayim shesamachloi, whereas water, which is close to it, water which is the next one of the four yesoidas, hu kar v'lach. Water is also cold. It shares a property with ofer. It's kar like ofer, but it's lach. It's wet. However, there's an overlap, there's a union between water and dirt in that they're both kar, they share that aspect of their existence. V'chein mayim hu kar v'lach, v'ruach lach v'cham. And so to water and air, water is cold and wet, air is cold and warm. Gases have heat to them. So again, there's an overlap. Kimavur bisforim, as is explained in those forum that discuss these elements. Nimtza, she'ikar kiyum kol hadvorim sheboilam, she'nitzavu me'arba yesoidos, ikar kiyumam al yidei hachibur v'arkova shelem. So therefore we see that the main existence of everything in this world, which comes from these four basic elements, their existence is dependent on their working together, these four elements combining with each other in proper, the way, with Hashem's chachma, kishehem muzogim bemezeg hashova kefi aroi loisedover, when they're combined together properly with the proper balance that's required for that thing. We gave the example of water. If you do two portions of oxygen and one portion of hydrogen, you can do it from today till tomorrow. You ain't going to get one drop of water. You can do 2 billion portions of oxygen and a billion you're still not going to get water. It's got to be the exact formula that Hashem specified in order for these different elements to combine to be able to form every single thing that we have in this world. We'll hold it over here for now. Alkane. That this is the introduction, and Rav Nosson Zal is going to use this to explain incredible things.